Last week we began a study of the book of Jude. I love to study through books because I think God gave us books, letters, for us to read and learn and study them through instead of taking pieces. Sometimes we have topics, but we're studying through a book, which I think Jude has so much to teach us. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus Christ. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Lord, you indeed have entrusted to us the faith. May we be the keepers of that. May we, Lord, understand also what it means to be called, loved, and kept by you. Three powerful words, Lord. I pray today, Lord, that our ears will be open to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to understand. May we be people who not only hear and forget, but who embrace your word so that we might become more and more like Jesus. For that is one of our goals while we're here as your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you would take that sheet and turn it over, and hopefully you'll take some notes this morning so that later in the week, you'll take a look at these and get these truths in your heart. Get them in your heart. You know, in 1990, some of you weren't born in 1990, but in 1990, there was a movie that came out called Dances with Wolves. Some of you will remember that. There is a scene in which hundreds of buffalo are thundering across the plain. And at one point, one of the buffalo breaks off from the rest and it looks like it's charging toward an Indian boy. You'll never believe how that's done. They put Oreo cookies. This is true. They put Oreo cookies and they got to the point with that one buffalo that it would do practically anything to get Oreo cookies. And when it came time to shoot that scene, they put a pile of Oreo cookies by that Indian boy, and he ran right to those Oreo cookies. Now, I wonder if that's the way some of you came to Christ. What do you think? Did you think that God put some Oreo cookies out there, and we followed them? You think we followed his Oreo cookies? I don't hear anybody saying no. Let me ask you, how many of you like Oreo cookies? Oh, my goodness. Maybe that's the way you came to Christ. And you put out some Oreo cookies for you. This morning, we continue our study of the book of Jude. Last week, we began talking about Jude calling himself a servant. And the word servant, two words for servant in Greek, diakonos, where we get the word deacon, and the second, doulos, which means slave. And we spent a good part of the sermon last week talking about it means slave. And James calls himself a slave for Christ. Paul calls himself a slave for Christ. Jude calls himself a slave for Christ. Peter calls himself a slave for Christ. And of course, the issue for us, can we write our name? Can we say that that's what I am? That I am a slave for Christ. So this morning, we want to take a look at these three words. Called by God, loved by God, and kept by Jesus Christ. To those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ. And we want to take a look at the word called. Have you been called by God? Have you been called by God? And I think typically when we hear that word, are you called by God? We think of it applying to people called into the ministry, people called to be pastors or missionaries. Here, it doesn't mean that. Here, it has two meanings. One, it's a call to have a relationship with Jesus. It's a call to have a relationship with Jesus. And today we hear that so much, have a personal relationship with Jesus. And I think maybe perhaps what happens is that we so take it for granted because maybe we say a prayer, maybe because we say a prayer and then we kind of go on with the rest of our life. But the issue, I think, becomes, what about your marriage? Can you just get by with your marriage with saying a couple words a week? No, that won't exist. To have a relationship with someone in your life, a wife or a husband, there needs to be conversation all the time. It's a call to have a relationship with Jesus. It's a summons. It's an invitation to come to Christ. It's an invitation to become a Christian, to become a Christ one. Am I a Christ one? Am I a Christian? And of course, I think that call goes out there to many, many people. The issue becomes, will I hearken to that call? Will I take hold of that call? Then it's a call to be on mission with Jesus. It's a call to be on mission. And we can't separate the two. We can't separate having a relationship with Jesus and a mission, being on mission with Jesus. The two go together. Last week, we talked about being a servant. And the word servant means slave. And being that is tied with this. Am I on mission with Christ? You're either a missionary or a mission field. And I've said that so many times over the years. You're either a missionary or a mission field. If you're a mission field, that means you need to come to Christ to have a relationship with Him. If you're a missionary, that means you have already come to Christ and you have a relationship. And that you have a mission to do for Him and be serving Him. Every Christian should be serving some function in the body of Christ for something, for something. We're just not coming to Christ and just plop ourselves down. You're either a missionary or a mission field. We are called to be like Jesus. There's no way to get around that. We are called to be like Jesus. If we're saved, the time that we live here, that we are living, is the time that we have to become more and more like Jesus. God's call has three characteristics. If you've been called, and hopefully all of you sitting here have been called, there might be some who haven't been, that haven't taken hold of Christ in their life. And there may be some who maybe have gone to church in this denomination or that denomination, but have I really embraced Christ in my life? God's call has three characteristics. One, God calls ordinary people. He doesn't call necessarily the brightest, the most outgoing, those who are rich, or He calls ordinary people. How can I say that? Look at Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. What made them different? They were with Jesus. And that becomes, am I with Jesus? Do you spend time with Jesus? Do you spend time talking with Him? Do you spend time praying with Him? Is there time spent with Him? They were busy people. They were busy people. Luke 5 tells us that James and John, they were partners with Peter, and they had a corporation. I guess that's how we'd probably call it today. It was in a fishing business, and fishing is hard work. It is hard work to make a livelihood out of it. They were busy. Third, every Christian has two callings. Getting into a little theology now. If you're a Christian, there are two callings on your life. There's the general call, which means you're called to be. You're called to belong. You're called to be a Christian. You're called to be brought into the family of God. That's a general call. That general call goes out to all people. Not everyone hearkens to it. Then there is the particular calling. And the particular call is why you're here. What you're called to do with your life. And that goes beyond raising children. It goes beyond working. It goes beyond having a home. It goes beyond living your life. It's if you're Christian, you're called to serve God in some fashion and function. In some fashion or function. I set these up. I want you to take a look at these. As Christians, we're called to do the following. And if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, you can fill in the blanks there. Called to fellowship with Jesus. And for the first four, I put the scripture verses so that you can see that the scripture references that I have are legitimate, that they're real. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We're called to be with Jesus, to be involved with him, to be speaking with him, to be praying with him, to be growing in him. And I can tell you this, and I've said this so many times. The more we learn about Christ, the more we grow in Christ, the more time we spend with him and with others who are strong, the more that life seems to make sense. Because many times life doesn't make sense, does it? Life doesn't make sense. It makes no sense to us. But I will tell you this. It's one of these times. I know, I'm old man Zoller. And for those of you, when I was a little boy growing up, we had a neighbor. And whenever he said something, he was one of those old fellows. He would say something, he said, I know, I'm old man Zoller. And that meant it was true, whether it was true or not, it was true to him. I know, because I've seen it work in my life. The more you come to know Christ, and the more time you spend learning of him and his word, the more that life makes sense in your life, whether it's good or bad. And the more you come to trust him and to take hold of him in a greater way. Second, you're called to inherit a blessing. We all want blessings. 1 Peter 3:9, you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. And may all of you here inherit that. May all of you inherit that blessing and take hold of him. Third, you're called to freedom. Whew. When you were growing up and you were a teenager, you couldn't wait till you were 21. Because you thought when you turned 21, you get out of your house and no more. You don't have to listen to your parents anymore. Only to find out when you're working, you have less freedom than you ever had. Because you have to do what your employer or your boss tells you, and you have very little freedom, you find. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers, were called to be free. No longer hampered by sin. Sin no longer can hold you down. Whether you feel like you're being held down or not, you are free. Called to peace. Well, there's something that everybody wants today, don't they? Peace. 1 Corinthians 7:15, God has called us to live in peace. To have peace with God and peace with one another. And that takes work. And that takes cultivating our hearts, because people today are not very peaceful. I was in Walmart. We got back late, very late Thursday night. Very late Thursday night. I thought we were going to come back Friday. And life has been very, very busy since then. But I went to Walmart real quick and was checking out at the counter. And there was a woman in the next aisle who was in one of those self-checking out things. And so she asked the woman who was checking me out. I wasn't self-serving because I had too many things. She says, "Hey, this light's on here, but it's not working." And so the woman said, I don't know what's wrong. She says, "Well, somebody should find out." And so she started taking her stuff off the thing and went somewhere else. And I said, "That light is for the other one." I told the check, "It's not for this one. It's for the other one." And so the checker out that I had turned around and says, "That's not for this one. That's for the other one." And she said, "I know. I can see it." And you go, "Wow." And so the checker out girl that I had looked at me and went, I said, "You have it tough. You have it tough. People can be tough." Now, all of our smithies, there are scripture verses, but I didn't type them out. You're called to holiness. That doesn't mean called to be perfect. That means we're called to live differently. And believe me, I have my fun. I'm not. And if you spend time with me, you know that I like to joke a lot. Right, Ron? In fact, Bob, I said something to Ron about you this morning. We are called to have a worthy walk, which means our life should be turned toward Christ. We're called to one hope. One hope. You're called to eternal life. Life with Jesus. Everyone's going to live forever. It just is, where are you going to live? You're going to live, or you're going to, you're going to live there. But everyone's going to live forever. The moment you become a Christian, you've entered eternal life. Called to salvation. Called according to His purpose. Well, there's one we can talk about and think about. Am I called according to my purpose? Am I living my life according to my purpose or His purpose? And 11, called out of darkness into His light. Called out of the craziness of this world. Called out of the darkness that exists in this culture. And it seems to be only getting darker, doesn't it? And I'm not even going to touch the political stuff. It is so crazy. These are many of the different callings that we have in our life as God's people. Also, you're loved. You're loved by God. Verse 1, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father. Who are loved by God the Father. I am so thankful that God loves me. I know without a doubt that He does. That doesn't mean that every step that I take, every part of life that I live, goes smoothly. But I do know that He loves me with an everlasting love. There was a poll that was taken some years ago, and the question that was asked among the people was, what word or phrase would you like uttered to you? What would you like people or someone most often to say to you? Yeah, that's what it was. I love you. People said that more than anything else. What phrase do you want to hear? I love you. I love you. What does that mean? That means that someone cares for me. Christians should be people who love. It's not always easy to love people. You know, some people are EGRs, and I've said this before, extra grace required. EGRs, extra grace required. And Frank said, amen. And then, of course, there's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the Greek, that's in the perfect tense, the verb is. The verb is in the perfect tense. And what does that mean? I'm not going to tell you. Let me tell you what it means. It means that it's an event that happened in the past that continues in the future to act. And so that really what we can say is this. God loved you in the past. He loved you before you were born. He loves you today in the present. And he'll love you down the road. Yes, down forever. Yes. And I go, wow. Wow. We all know that God loves us, but do you really understand just how superior his love is to any kind of human love that we can possibly have? There are three things that talk about this. One, it's immeasurable. His love is immeasurable. And sometimes I say to Stacy, I love you, or she'll say to me, I love you, and I say, how much do you love me? It's immeasurable. He loves you this much. This much. That he was put on the cross for you. You know, when our children were little, I have my strange little ways to have fun sometimes, and I would go up to each one of them. I say, Steph, do you love mom more or dad more? I'd say, Steve, do you love dad more or mom? And they go, Dad, we love you both. But I would do that every so often. And I still do it. I still do it. He loves you this much that he died for you. It's immutable. His love is immutable. And what that means, nothing you do can change his love for you. That is, if you're a Christian, if you are truly a Christian, nothing you do can change his love for you. And you know what's so good about that? We all mess up. Every day. Every day we mess up. Either from doing things, saying things, or not doing things that we know that we should be doing. Nothing you do can change his love for you. Third, it's everlasting. His love for you is everlasting. Jeremiah 31, verse 3 says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Wow. Wow. Where's Lou? Lou, just think. Just think. God loves even you with an everlasting love. Hard to believe, isn't it? For those of you who haven't been here long enough, I was a teacher before I went to seminary. I had Lou in seventh grade. I had him in eighth grade. Had him in ninth grade. I went up to the high school. Lou came up to the high school. Had him in 10th grade. Had him in 11th grade. 12th grade. I still can't get rid of him. Good young man. Good young man. A woman had three sons, and she knew she was going to die soon, so that she wrote each one of them a letter. After the funeral director gave each one of them a letter, and they were told to open it by themselves, separate from each one. When each one opened it, each letter said the same thing. Each letter said to each son, I love you the most. Guess what? God loves you the most. Chris, God loves you the most. Chuck, God loves you the most. Cindy, God loves you the most. He might love you a little bit more than Ray. I'm only kidding. God loves you the most. To me, that is so reassuring in spite of how hard life might be at times. This might be one of the most important things you learn in your spiritual walk, theology. Despite what you may have heard growing up, I am going to teach you what Scripture says rather than what man has to say. You are kept by Jesus Christ if you're a Christian. If you're a Christian, you're kept by Him. Again, to those who have been called, who are loved by God the Father, and kept by Jesus Christ. The word kept means stand guard over, hold firmly, to preserve. And it speaks of God's keeping and securing power that He can keep us from falling. An assurance of His keeping power. What is unusual? Here we have this in the beginning of Jude and at the end of Jude, both speaking of an assurance of our salvation. To Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. That's the end. And we have it at the beginning. Both places. And sometimes we say, well, and let me work a little bit further on this. Your security in Christ, does it exist? Are you secure in Jesus Christ? Can you lose your salvation? And there's the operative word. First of all, are you truly saved? That's the first part. Are you truly saved? And of course, we have to be truly saved. And every so often, I haven't been asked this in a long time, someone would ask me, can I lose my salvation? And I would go through various scripture verses and so on and so forth, but let me share some things with you that over the years. First of all, one, you're saved by grace, not by works. You're saved by grace, not by works. Did you do anything to earn your salvation? No. If you didn't do anything to earn your salvation, then you can't do anything to lose it. If you could do something to lose your salvation, it would be by works. It would be by works. And it's not by works. It's by grace. Two, if you could lose your salvation, this is so important, this one. That means Jesus' death on the cross was not good enough. That means His death on the cross was not good enough. You need something else. Because you could lose it. But His death, that's how we're saved. That's how we're saved. Three, if you could lose your salvation, that would make it dependent upon you. Ephesians 2:8, it is by grace you have been saved, by faith. Not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. If you could lose your salvation, that would make it dependent upon you. And it's not. And I'm glad it's not dependent upon me. It's dependent upon Jesus Christ. Jesus died so that I might be saved. And as long as I hold on to Him and I love Him and I'm living for Him, I will be saved. Four, I love doctrine. My first degree in theology was concerning the doctrines of the faith. You can't be 75% justified and 25% not justified. Justification means this, that God looks at you and sees you as being righteous because you have believed and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Or as Billy Graham used to say, justification means just as if you never sinned. And God looks at you, if you're a Christian, just as if you never sinned. So you can't today be 75% justified. Tomorrow you wake up and maybe you do something that's not so nice. Well, today I'm only 50% justified. You're either justified or you're not. God sees you through the work of Christ either as being righteous or not righteous because you haven't taken hold of him. And then, of course, there are many I can bring up. There's this one, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I'm going to outline, look at this. The word began, carry it on, completion. God began it. He begins the work in you. He continues it, carry it on, and he completes it. He completes it. It's not me. It's not you that completes it. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, he is the one who begins the work in you. He is the one who continues it in you. He is the one who completes it in you. Whatever God starts, he finishes. If I started it, I might not finish it. How many diets do people start? Say, many. How many exercise programs you start and not finish? How many times you clean out the garage you start and don't finish it? As the wise are going, you hear that? You hear that? What we start, we may not finish, but whatever God starts, he finishes it. The issue is, am I truly saved? That's the issue. That's the issue. It's always been the issue. There was an expedition some years ago that traveled down to South America looking for some very rare flowers. And finally, they came to this gorge that was about 35, 40 feet deep. And the leaders had this 13-year-old, one of their people guiding them, a 13-year-old guide. They said, we want to tie a rope around you and let you down and see those couple of flowers down. We want you to clip those very gently and bring them up. And that 13-year-old said, wait a minute, you want to put a rope around me, lower me down there, get those flowers and come back up? They said, yes, I'll be back. He was gone about 12 minutes, and he came back, and he said, okay, you can put the rope around me, but I want this man to hold the rope. He's my father. He trusts his dad. He trusts his father. He believed that his father would hold on to the rope. And the same thing is true for us. That if we are truly Christian, I am living for him. And I'm not living for myself, but I'm living for him. I'm living for him. He holds on to that rope for us. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Musicians. Will you please stand? Solid rock. Rock of ages.